This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 99 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everybody? We appreciate you joining us for this huge episode 99, the last one in double digits.
Yeah, we got Whitney Miller today, man. It's very exciting to get her on. Obviously, girlfriend of Aubrey Marcus, but she's much more than that, man. She brings so much to the table. I remember when we were on it last year, we saw her training in the background, and unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to actually go up and meet her, but she's doing some incredible things, so I'm excited to have her on.
Yeah, we passed by, and that's probably just a testament. She was running by us, and she has so much stuff going on. That's probably how she always is, you know, working. She's on that. She always has to have a lot of gas or fuel in that gas tank. And Whitney Miller, somebody before we started the show that Eleni, my girlfriend, was already listening to and following. So it's really good to always get an awesome insight and perspective from a woman guest, a female who's doing her thing.
Yeah. Well, she's just got into Glory Kickboxing's broadcast team. So, you know, that's the side of things that always interests me, kind of that broadcast, that
yep.
Color commentary slash analyst sort of role. So it'd be great to see how she actually got into the industry and where she sees that going.
Yeah, I saw her a few weekends ago side by side with Joseph Valtellini, former Glory World Champion. So that experience alone, rubbing shoulders to shoulders with the champions and experts, she's learning a lot. She's learning on the fly, and that's admirable in itself to put yourself in these positions of to either sink or swim, and she's definitely swimming.
Yeah, and another thing that we kind of relate to her, she had her first boxing fight last year, which was kind of a bucket list item for her. She's really into combat sports.
In her home, too. Yeah. Like, that had to be stressful.
So
at the Onnit Center.
Yeah, you can only imagine. It's the amount of pressure on her, all the eyes watching her. So it'd be great to see just the insights into how she prepared for it, both mentally and physically. Something that I am kind of toying with a little bit. So it's great to get an insight from someone that's done it.
Super excited to get this one started. See also the relationship, to see the effects that Aubrey has on her, because he's a big mindset guy.
Yep.
We'll, you know, get to some of the questions about, you know, that preparation before her fights and her ring experience with interviewing. So we're stoked to bring 99 to you.
100%. So just before we get on, a big thank you to all you guys listening to the show. Really appreciate all the messages of support, all the 5-star reviews that you've left on iTunes. So guys, if you can continue to spread the word for us, that would be so lovely. Grateful.
For sure. Grateful is the best word for it. Gratitude, guys. We really appreciate you supporting us. We really appreciate you following Tristan and I and the Vision Board Podcast. So you keep bringing it, we'll keep bringing it.
Yeah, just remember it's available for us, via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And if you have any guest requests or you have any feedback for the show, please send them through at info@thevisionboardpodcast.com.
Other than that, Tristan Cannell, you ready?
Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
All right. All right, our special guest is Whitney Miller. Whitney was Miss USA in 2012. She's a health and fitness coach, model, host on the Glory Kickboxing broadcast team, while she also competes in boxing and jiu-jitsu. We welcome Whitney Miller. Whitney, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Excellent. Like Tristan aforementioned, Whitney, I've seen in the last few months alone, you know, you've had a fight. I saw you on TV, I think it was 2 weeks ago, reporting for Glory. Could you share with our fans and the people listening at home who are following you what 2017, the rest of the year, this whole year, has in store for you, maybe some goals you want to achieve? What's in store for Whitney Miller?
Man, you know, sky's the limit, really. That's kind of what my idea is for 2017. I'm just going to keep working towards whatever that is. But, yeah, so I started working with Glory and doing their in-ring backstage announcing after my fight. And that's been really fun for me, being able to talk about something that I love, which is fighting, and be in front of the camera and radio, which is something I've always wanted to do from being a young girl. So combining those two has been great. And we'll just see what other opportunities come up from that. You know, we've talked about potentially at some point the NFL Network. So that would be obviously like the pinnacle of the goal. So I would do that if that ever came up. And as far as fighting, it looks like I'm taking a kickboxing match in May. So I'll start training for that pretty soon. Nice. And eventually I'll have an MMA fight too. I'm just an actress.
Excellent. Yeah, Aubrey posted, there was one specific IG Instagram post that I made note of because it was an awesome post. And it was the one about you and how 4 years ago, what your goals were and what you're currently doing now and what you're achieving. And Aubrey called you an undeniable force. So could you share with us where that drive comes from, that work ethic, that willingness to just want to keep evolving, want to keep succeeding and pushing your own personal boundaries?
I think that's just my personality. I've always been that way. You know, my parents, ever since I was a little girl, they always said, well, Whitney, you're going to do what you want to do. And then as I, you know, got older into my teen years, well, Whitney, you're going to do what you want to do. And even now, you know, they don't like this whole fighting thing, but they told me, well, it doesn't matter what I'm going to say because you're going to do what you want to do. And I've never gotten into any big trouble or anything like that. It's just I'm always wanting to try different things. I want to know what it feels like. I want to know what it tastes like. I want to know everything about it. And I just kind of – I love challenging myself. That's, like, the biggest thing for me. One of my favorite things to do is to do something that I've never done before. And so I think that's something that keeps pushing me towards the next thing. Like, what can I dip my feet into? What can I learn from this? And maybe sports played a little bit of a you know, something into that, just because I've always been an athlete and my parents were athletes too. So I think indirectly, they definitely encouraged me and encouraged that behavior to do whatever it is I want to do, even though it was difficult for them at times, I'm sure. But I love to believe that I'm an undeniable force, because you have to. I mean, if there's something that you want to reach, you just have to believe that you can get there.
Well said. Winnie, Tristan and I both are coaches down here in Sydney, and I grew up with boxing. Tristan still boxes. And my question is for you. I've dabbled in and out over the last 10 years with rolling, jiu-jitsu, grappling, but my most comfort level is striking, you know, throwing hands and getting hit, that sort of thing. I'm really uncomfortable in that intimate space of rolling around. What is your where do you feel your strengths are specifically in the fight game, and where do you have to improve on?
Well, you know, before my boxing match, I would say on the ground. I felt very comfortable on the ground. I'm pretty explosive. I'm really strong for my size, which is something that people don't, when they see me, they see that I'm fit, but they just don't see my strength. And so that really helped me, you know, become pretty successful in jiu-jitsu. And then when I started training for boxing, the same thing goes for that. What do I enjoy more? I have no idea. It's just, it depends on what I'm training that day. If I'm boxing that day, I love boxing. If I'm doing jiu-jitsu that day, I love jiu-jitsu. So that's been, it's fun to be able to enjoy, you know, whatever sport you're doing. And then moving forward, what I need to work on, well, you know, I'm taking a kickboxing match. I don't have a whole lot of experience in kickboxing. I trained at Tiger Muay Thai for about a month a couple years ago, and I've done a little bit. I've trained with Dwayne Bang as well a couple of times, so I do have a little bit of foundation there, but that's something I definitely need to work on, especially if I'm going to step into a ring and, you know, throw some kicks and hopefully knock somebody out.
Actually, Whitney, overnight I got a whole heap of questions from a number of listeners just wanting to actually get a bit of insight into actually how you actually train your typical, you know, are you using weights? Do you run a lot? Can you just give us a bit of insights into exactly what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, sure. On a day-to-day basis, I mean, if I'm not training for a specific event, you know, I'm out on it and I'm doing a lot of the unconventional training classes. I love doing classes. To be honest, I'm like the worst person at working out by myself. And I don't know if it's because I've had coaches since I was 4 years old to where I just like being told what to do in the gym or what. But so I like to go to Onnit, get into class, do a lot of mace work. I do some heavy lifting, you know, maybe once or twice a week. But I really like conditioning and explosive movements, cardio, hitting the bag, anything that just gets me really sweaty and just worn out.
Whitney, you're a big influence on young women. And when I put it on my social that we were going to be chatting with you, I was getting questions left and right. Tris and I do this individually and see what we could come up with. One of the questions I kept being asked to ask you was, for any young women listening out there who are interested in like starting businesses and creating and getting a brand off the ground and promoting their skill set, what would you give them in regards to like following that passion and growing their personal brand?
Well, first of all, pinpoint what that personal brand is. What exactly do you want to do with that? You know, do you have a passion for writing? Do you have a passion for fitness? Do you have a passion for whatever it is? Pinpoint that one thing. And something that I did was I went out and researched and saw what other people were doing and what worked for other people and what didn't work for other people. Also find a mentor. If there's somebody out there that you're like, man, this person is really, really doing a good job of this, maybe try to contact them. They might talk to you, they might not, but at least you reached out. Or if there's anybody in your social group, chances are you know somebody that's doing it, or you can talk to somebody that knows somebody that's doing it. So really use your resources as much as possible. And the other thing is don't give up. I mean, I've been wanting to do radio and television work since I was old enough to like know what that was. And I didn't really know how to get there. I knew you could work on the local news and do traffic at 2 a.m. in the morning. I didn't really want to do that. I just knew there was something bigger for me. So I started doing things that were really uncomfortable. You know, I competed in pageants, which was not something that was really in my personality because I was a big tomboy. I was, you know, I was a surfer, wakeboarder, any sport I could do, not pageants, but I did it because I knew it would help me with public speaking. And who knew who was going to be in the crowd, who might be able to help me get to a certain point. And then I found a job working at 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on a home shopping network. And then I realized, I want to do sports. Maybe I would like to have some sort of experience within the field. Hey, why don't I start jiu-jitsu? Why don't I take a fight? And it just kind of snowballs. And people might not understand your path, but as long as you know, as long as you see the light at the end of the tunnel, just keep trucking because it feels so good when you get there.
Yeah. How old were you when you first did your first pageant, Whitney?
I did my first pageant when I was probably, when I was 15. And I won that one. And that was Miss Corpus Christi Teen USA. And I showed up late to rehearsals because I was at a surf comp. I was sunburned. Like, I did not take it seriously. But I ended up winning somehow. And I told my dad before the end of the pageant, hey, don't worry about coming. Like, I just blew interview. It was weird. I'm sorry, whatever. And then they tried to mold me into what they thought a pageant girl would be. And I'm just so against this because I feel like in the pageant industry, that's so common for people to say, hey, here's this beautiful girl with so much talent, so much potential, but let's mold her into what we think the judges want to see.
Yeah.
And I let that happen and I competed again and completely just lost. I didn't even know what to tell the judges when I was in an interview because I was being fed so many different things. And then I didn't do anything for 6 years, and a girlfriend of mine called me. And during that 6 years, you know, I was a professional wake surfer. I was in college. Pageants were not on my mind at all. A girlfriend of mine called me 1 week before Miss Texas and said, hey, Miss Texas is next weekend. I feel like maybe you should compete. I told her no right off the bat. Ended up, long story short, ended up competing with a borrowed dress, borrowed absolutely everything, and went in there and with a vow to myself that I was going to be genuine to myself and not worry about what the judges wanted to hear, what I thought they wanted to hear. It was just going to be Whitney, and they were going to get Whitney, and if I won, great. I ended up winning that, winning the swimsuit, and then going to Miss United States and winning that. So it wasn't, this isn't something that I've done my entire life, but I think for me it was about showing girls that you didn't have to be this Barbie, yeah. you know, or this molded Barbie to be this role model or Miss United States. You can solely be yourself. And I think that comes off as more beautiful than anything else that you can learn.
So I think, so the takeaway points there is, you know, you're genuine, just being genuine, and also you don't need a big preparation trying to be someone that you're not.
No, because it's going to come off. All of that preparation, yeah, I mean, you do need some sort of training. Let's say I can help you how to walk, or, you know, what you want to put on your bio sheet. Like, highlight the best parts of you. Don't try to be something you're not, because people are going to see right through that.
Yeah. What sort of questions? I've never actually watched the show before. What sort of questions do the judges ask you?
Oh, they can ask you anything, basically. Anything from something simple as, you know, what do you like to do in your off time, to something about something political, something controversial,
yeah.
anything that kind of comes up within reason. Obviously, it can't be extremely inappropriate, but they do try to throw you off here and there because they want to see how you handle questions under pressure.
How many of the girls answered that they wanted world peace?
You know, I didn't hear anybody do that. Yeah? I think that's kind of...
That's like a cliche. That has to be a cliche. That has to be a cliche.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it would be hilarious if somebody just went up there and was like, yeah, world peace. So good.
Whitney, a lot of our listeners and our fans are coaches. So that being said, Tris and I coach as well. So we have clients, both male and female. And being a female athlete, somebody that keeps, you know, pushing their body's optimization, could you share with us and our listeners what your nutrition, but what subs are you taking? Because, like, I'll get a new female client, and the first thing I'll do is I'll go to my girlfriend and be like, Eleni, my client is 27. She wants to lose weight. Like, what supplements should she be taking? So could you share some insight on what you're taking?
Yeah, I don't take too much. I mean, obviously, I'm an Onnit fan, so, and basically my entire pantry is stocked with Onnit goods.
Plug.
So I take, you know, Onnit Alpha Brain almost every day. I take the Shroom Tech before I work out. The MCT oil, I highly, highly recommend MCT oil, regardless if it's on it or not. Just make sure it's a really clean MCT oil for everybody. And then as far as immune, I really like olive leaf. I just started taking olive leaf.
The extract?
Yeah, in capsules.
Okay.
And it's been really great because everybody's been incredibly sick here in Texas. And I was sick for a little bit, and then I started taking that, and I feel like superwoman. Like, no, you can't touch this.
Oh, yeah. What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Your circle of influence is pretty impressive. I mean, hanging around Aubrey, the dude just throws out, you know, just the stuff you guys learn from each other is, you probably can't put that on paper. But the one do you have a personal relationship in terms of, like, learning from Joseph Valtellini? Because I know he, you know, if guys listening at home, he's a former world champion kickboxer. And I heard him speaking that it was nervous for him to do the reporting initially and the analyst. And you seem really comfortable. So do you guys chat about that? Do you teach him stuff? Did he teach you anything? And what's that relationship like?
Oh, man. Thank you for that. Yeah, Joseph is great. I love working with Joseph. He's a badass, obviously, but such a sweet person. And he's such a good dude. But it's funny that he says he was so nervous to begin with, because I feel like he's, you know, really grown. And he'll admit that he tried to do the in-ring stuff. And he was like, I was horrible at doing in-ring. And I'm so happy that you're doing it now, so I don't have to get back in there. I might have like a better poker face or something, because before I go up there, my heart is pounding. Yeah. I have to tell you guys, it is pounding, and then I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. But yeah, we definitely feed off of each other. He helps me with any sort of fighters that I don't know or tips. I mean, he is an encyclopedia of like every single fighter and fight and how it looked and what they should have done. It's pretty impressive the facts that he can just fire away. And then we're also working with Todd Grisham, and you know, Todd is a veteran in the sport, in the, you know, announcing world. He's worked with ESPN, and so he's helped both of us kind of grow within that, within that realm.
And could you share maybe, Tristan and I, maybe a tip that you've learned recently with the, you know, interviewing style and hosting, maybe something that Todd shared with you that, you know, is a simple, like, add into your interview style sort of thing?
Let me think. Well, I feel like podcasting and then also, like, hosting are a little bit different. But, you know, Todd worked with the WWE, and so he was trained constantly to have this, like, very flamboyant, like, very dramatic, over-exaggerated way of talking. And so he went all the way on that side of the spectrum. And then so when you get in ring, you want to be very excited, and you want to have a whole lot of enthusiasm about it. And so he's like, go up there and think about that. Like, think you are on the WWE, and you're like, you're really yelling at the crowd. He's like, you're going to hear your voice, which is going to be weird, but keep yelling, move your hands, because your hands won't be as big as you feel like they're actually moving. He's just saying to really have some enthusiasm and bring, just show your personality.
When was that breakthrough moment when you signed with Glory Kickboxing, from going from something that you inspired to something that you do now as work?
How was that?
Yeah, what was that breakthrough moment like? Was it something that, did you have to audition? Was it something that they had you on the radar for a while? Like, what was that process?
You know, it was really cool. I did a little bit of work at one of their events for MMAmania.com, where I just did an interview with Joe Schilling and Tiffany Van Soest. And so I think I was a little bit on their radar, but not too much. And then they wanted to kind of revamp Glory Kickboxing. They want people to watch Glory, which I understand. It's incredibly exciting to watch. And so I'm hoping it's going to gain more traction, because it really is, I think, one of the most fun things to watch on television. But they flew me out to Denver to do a screen test with them. And, you know, I didn't really watch kickboxing that much. I was more into MMA. I know more of the fighters. I know more of the moves. And so it was a little bit, they kind of just threw me into the fire. And some of these names that you come across are names that I could never even begin to try to pronounce on my own.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a scary moment, but then also, you know, it's me wanting to push myself outside of my comfort zone, do something that I've never wanted to do or never done before. And so it all went hand in hand, and they liked what they saw in Denver, and now I'm on board, and we have 18 shows this year.
Yeah. And what do you love most about broadcasting?
You know, I just love the energy. I just think it's really fun. It's so much fun to be around the crowd. It's exciting to be around the sport. And it's basically, you're giving a moment to these fighters, or basically anyone that you're interviewing, to really shine. Like, this is their moment to bring out the best in them, and I'm only there to help them do that. And I know what it feels like. I know, you know, from winning Miss United States, or from, you know, my fight, or any other interviews, it's very exciting to do that. And so I want to make them feel excited and important, and want them to get the message out to the audience too.
Whitney, down here in Australia, John Wayne Parr has taken a lot of heat. The media has given him heat. His daughter, I think Jazz is maybe 14 or 15 now, and she's a Muay Thai fighter. And the media down here is kind of giving him heat on the fact that, like, they're trying to speak for the populace in terms of how to raise people, what girls, young ladies should be doing. What type of, what would you say to the critics of teaching a martial art to somebody in their teens?
I mean, it's coming from somebody that's uneducated, I would say. You know, if they haven't competed in martial arts, they kind of just only see the violent part of it. Same with my family. You know, my family was very similar in that. Why are you doing this? There has to be something wrong with you that you want to go punch somebody in the face, or you want to go get choked out or whatever it is. And there's so much more to that. It's really like a human chess game when it comes to martial arts and, you know, boxing and kickboxing and everything. It's not about injuring the other person. It's this game, and it teaches you how to, one, it teaches you discipline, and it teaches you motivation, because some days you don't want to go back to the gym, but you get back to the gym. And then, two, I think it carries over into everyday life. It helps you in stressful situations, because you are constantly put in stressful situations when it comes to martial arts. And you have to relax, you have to breathe, and you have to logically think how you're going to get out of that situation. So, I mean, I think martial arts for teenagers, for kids, for men and women, I think martial arts is great for any age. I mean, you start martial arts at 70. That's awesome. I totally 100% support it.
Actually, I want to talk to you more about actually the boxing fight, because I've been watching, in the lead up to you coming on the show, I've been watching a lot of the YouTube stuff that you've got on there. They had like an 8-part series, I think, on in the lead up to your fight. And I'm just chuckling a little bit when you said your parents didn't want you to fight, because I saw a couple of clips with your dad. And him being pretty worried about it and things like that, which is just natural for a father to do that. But just can you just take us through the lead up to your fight in terms of both your mental and your physical preparation?
Sure. My physical preparation, I trained out with Tony Jeffries in Santa Monica Box and Burn. He was a bronze medalist in the Olympics. And I went there. And he said he would never train anybody again because he was Brendan Schaub's coach, the UFC fighter.
Yep.
And he said he wouldn't train anybody ever again. And somehow I guess he decided to train me. So here we are. And I basically moved out to Santa Monica to train for months with him and just work on movement and cardio and the basics. But then I would spar as well. I had never really sparred before training for this fight. I sparred one time and that was it. And so we were basically starting at a zero state when it comes to me figuring out boxing. And I was also, you know, way more into jiu-jitsu at that time. So in my mind, if I'm getting into a fight or if I'm going to a cage or something, I'm going to take the girl down. I'm going to use my grappling skills. Obviously with this boxing match, I couldn't do that. So he really had to walk me through everything. And I caught on pretty well. And he took me through the ringer, but he believed in me and I believed in myself. And I think that was like the number one thing for me. And then mentally happened when I got back. I mean, I was kind of a mess. The only thing I would think about was the fight. I just had constant anxiety. As soon as I would wake up in the morning, it'd be 6 a.m. and that's the first thing that came to my mind. What about this fight? What am I going to do? What if she does this to me? What happens if I get knocked out? All of my family's going to be there. You know, it was like all of these different emotions. And one night, it was probably like two or three days before the fight, Tony came into town and we had like our shakeout. We're not really doing too much. I'm just moving a couple minutes here and there. And I came home and I was doing my weight cut because I wasn't cutting that much, but I was cutting maybe about 5 pounds, 5-6 pounds, and I had Mike Dolce put me through a weight cut, made it super easy. And Aubrey put me through a meditation, which is just, you know, a meditation of the fight from start to finish. Me in the locker room, walking out to the ring, in the fight, bell rings, Tony's there, who I see in the crowd, the whole thing.
Yep.
And then the bell rings at the very end of the fight. And I just started bawling, crying. I just started crying in the meditation because we had music on. I didn't hear the music. I felt all of the emotions that I would feel, you know, after the fight, of that accomplishment, of going through all of those hours in the gym without my friends and family around me. And I just started bawling and broke down. It was like the first time that I woke up and I said to myself, okay, I'm ready. I'm so ready to do this, because every sort of scenario, that the worst possible scenario, already happened in my head. I've already been there. It's going to be great. And guess what? If I get knocked out, my whole plan, by the way, was if I got knocked out, I was just going to raise my hands up above my head, and I knew everyone was going to cheer, and I knew everyone was still going to love me.
Yeah. How long before the fight was this? Was this a week before?
No, that's probably about 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, about 2 or 3 days before the fight.
Wow, this type of so you went through like a visualization process with Aubrey, correct?
Full on. And I was a little skeptical of it because I was weight cutting and yeah. It was really hot in the bath and I didn't want to do it. And then I did it, and it was probably the most important mental training I did for that fight.
Yeah, we call the show the Vision Board Podcast, and you know, we're really big on the law of attraction and seeing things, especially, you know, if those goals are congruent with your skill sets. Is this something that you've done before, the visualization process, or maybe have you ever wanted something so bad before? And could you share that with us? To fight?
Yeah, I have done it before. Not with fighting, not with anything like that. I actually did it with Miss United States. Wow. Aubrey had me do it, thankfully. And he took me through it. And I visualized myself making the top 15, making the top 10, making, you know, the top 5, and then me standing there with another girl as first runner-up and winner. And I did that multiple times before the pageant, and I did it to the point of where when I was actually called to be, you know, top 5 or top 2, I wasn't surprised. Because I had been there so many times before, I was like, oh, well, yeah, obviously. I saw this like 1,000 times before this. Well, here I am, you know? And it sounds like it was, I don't mean that to be cocky. It's just like you walk through a park 1,000 times and you're like, oh, yeah, of course I sit there. That's just where I belong. You know, I know this already. I know what it tastes like. I know what it looks like. I know what it feels like. And, you know, that's how that visualization was for the fight, too. I haven't used it since, but yeah, I mean, it was incredibly powerful that I honestly give a lot of the way that I performed to that visualization that Aubrey put me through.
Have you ever heard Joe Rogan tell the story about when he went on the audition for News Radio?
No, I haven't.
It's basically, he goes on this audition, he's younger, he gets in this room, there's other comics wanting to get the same role, and he looks around and he just sees everybody stressed out, nervous, shaking in their boots, and he said he knew, you know, he was going to get that audition because he was prepared. What's your point of difference? Like, you're standing on that stage doing the pageants out of, you know, multiple other probably skilled women as well, and then you fighting, and then you announcing and getting probably a gig over, you know, 10 other women who wanted that position. What separates you from the pack, the populace?
I think it's, you know, like kind of like what I said earlier, is just believing in yourself that you can do it. Be like, yes, I am the perfect person for this job, and I'm about to show you why. And that's just, well, you got to, even that, that's something, a trick I would do on stage in a pageant. As soon as I would walk on stage, I would be saying in my head, I am your next Miss United States 2012. I am your next Miss United States 2012, to where it's, I believed it. And so when you see somebody that actually believes what they're doing and believes that they can be the next whatever, then you start to believe it. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, I can get with that 1,000%. You are the next Miss United States.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Actually, Whitney, I just wanted to quickly ask you about just your boxing style, because I saw in the ring that, you know, you use quite a bit of movement, which doesn't surprise me much considering your athletic background. Was that something that you came up with, or was that something you and Tony just came up with together?
I had a little bit of natural ability in that. That was just kind of my style. I'm not one to, like, stand in front of somebody and just, you know, bang with each other.
Yeah, totally.
I like to be fast. You know, I ran track and went to state and track and sprinting. And so that's what I like to do. But Tony he's the movement man. I mean, that's all it is. He wants in and out. He wants head movement. He wants head body. He wants feints. And so we worked on that so, so, so much. Anytime I was shadow boxing, it was feint and then throw. Anytime I was sparring, he would make me go a full round without throwing anything and just feinting and see if I could trick my opponent. And so, yeah, that was something I focused on heavily. I also knew the girl that I was fighting, River, was a very, in my opinion, one-dimensional fighter.
Yeah.
And I still believe that she is. And
is there going to be a rematch?
Is there going to be a rematch?
Yeah.
I mean, I would fight her again, but it doesn't really – get me that excited.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're looking for bigger and better things now.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I guess I would do it just kind of for shits and giggles to shut her up. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, we knew that she would just walk straight. We knew she was really slow. We knew she was tough. And so we're like, all right, that's cool. She couldn't be more different than me. I'm just going to go in there, use my head movement, go to the head, go to the body, have her chase me around. I knew she wanted a dog fight, and I wasn't going to let her have that. Tony also worked with me. Anytime I felt the ropes on my back, to move. Like, never let the ropes stay on my back. And so I was just trained to constantly move around that ring and punch her in the face.
What was the 10 minutes like before you actually entered the ring for the first time?
You know, it was pretty awesome. We wanted to keep everything in the locker room really light. So we were playing music. I was kind of dancing around. Aubrey was cracking jokes. We were talking about, you know, random Tinder dates that some of the other people in the locker room were having. And I had one of the guys go out and look and see what River was doing, my opponent. And she was, like, apparently pacing back and forth, and just she had her headgear on already, and she just seemed stressed out. And so our goal was to keep everything really light. And then I started hitting pads with Tony. He got me all wrapped up. I hit pads with Tony. And it couldn't have gone any better. It was I peaked at that very moment. I peaked. And and Aubrey will tell you, he goes, she performed at 110% of her potential. And I don't know, I think just everything came together, mentally everything came together. My body responded perfectly to all of the training. I took enough rest. I did the weight cut right. I got enough sleep, and it all just came together perfectly. To where when I was hitting pads in there, I was stronger and faster than I'd ever been. And I knew that I was going in there very confident. And, you know, I picked a song as my walkout song. I picked a song that would make me laugh. And I originally had this song. It was going to be like this tribal kind of war dance song, which I really like. But I thought I would already be too pumped up, so I didn't want to use it.
Yeah.
So I used this song that I like to play during parties, and it just makes me dance all, like, crazy and makes me laugh. And, like, all my friends think I'm a nutcase when I play it. And so I played that as my walkout song, and I knew that would kind of relax me and make me laugh and realize that this is just a game. It's just a game. It doesn't matter in the end.
Guys, we hope you're enjoying the episode with Whitney Miller. Be sure to check out our other episodes with the likes of Christmas Abbott, DJ Tiger Lily, and most recently with Aubrey Marcus. Remember to subscribe to the Vision Board podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a 5-star review. Now back to the show.
We use this platform to get insight and advice from guests like yourself to our listeners and our fans. And a lot more often than not, all we see, like, that this movement and power of social media is everyone's good days, what everybody looks like when they're at their best. So a question I really wanted to ask you is, could you share some, you know, insight and then offer advice to people at home when you have a bad day, something that maybe will get you through those ups and downs when things aren't always, you know, sunshines and rainbows?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all have bad days, right? I have bad days all the time. For me, my step one when it comes to having a bad day is I go and I read some sort of, like, inspirational quote. I will just look up inspirational quotes. And y'all talked about the law of attraction, so I'm sure you're familiar with Abraham Hicks and the teachings of that. So I like to look up quotes from her and just kind of read through them and realize I have the ability to make the choice if I want to be upset right now or not. Nobody else has that power over me. I get to sit here and say, I'm having a bad day. This sucks. This went wrong. But you know what? I'm going to make the choice to say, all right, that's cool. Let's move on. And let's, from here on out, have a good day. Let's just make the choice to do that. Why not? And that's usually what helps me. But if I need, like, extra encouragement, it's going and reading some sort of inspirational quotes, and I just look them up on Google and just scroll through until something kind of like strikes me. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
What do you do to relax away from all your jobs and training?
Oh, you know, I just constantly go, go, go. I like to, yeah. What do I like to, well, I love going on the lake. Anything with water is probably my number one thing. I want to be on the lake. I want to be by the beach. I want to be anything. Anything with water is where it's at for me.
How'd you get into wakeboarding?
Well, I grew up in Corpus Christi, Texas, so I grew up surfing there. And when we didn't surf, we just took, you know, the boat out to this place called the Ski Canals and would wakeboard out there. And then I moved inland to Austin. Obviously, there's no beach here, so everybody had a boat on the lake. And I started wakeboarding, and I taught wakeboarding at the Texas Ski Ranch. I was a summer camp counselor there. And it just kind of went hand in hand with it, and I loved it. Fell in love with it. Now, anytime the sun's somewhat out, I'm trying to drag Aubrey out there with me. He loves it too, but it's a little bit more. He needs to be more perfect conditions for him.
Whitney, a bit of a personality question. If three of your closest friends were sitting at a round table and you weren't in the room, what type of things would they be saying about you?
I would definitely say that I'm very animated. I'm animated, positive, and a good and bad influence.
Give us an example of you being a good influence.
I mean, they always constantly say that I'm super positive, and they love being around me when I'm like that, because I teach them the same thing I try to teach myself. It's like, babe, you have the ability to change it right now, so let's change this. Let's do this. You know, and I kind of help them as much as I possibly can with that. And I think that's something that really sticks with people, because it's not something that it's something that I can teach them, but it's also something that they can take away and do on their own.
And what's the contrary? What's the bad influence?
I'm just always like, I'm just live by, I'm so spontaneous that if anything comes up, I'm like, let's go, quit your job. Let's go. Totally support it, you know?
Yeah.
Or if any opportunity comes up from one of my girlfriends, like, I just told my girlfriend today, quit her job. She's like, oh, you know, I really don't want to go back to work. I don't like my boss, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'd rather go do this. I'm like, for sure, quit your job and go do this.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's like Alan Watts and Joseph Campbell. Did you read much of Campbell?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he had.
No, but I'll look it up.
Yeah, okay. He's a good one. One of the big ones is, if you're falling, dive. So.
There we go. Just I embrace like that
it. A lot. I actually heard I love that. Was it true that you wanted to swim with great white sharks with no cage or something?
Yes, it is very true. I just had that conversation again with Aubrey yesterday, and he thinks I'm an insane person.
Just
on all. I guess I am insane, but I do. I don't know what it is. Something about those monsters.
Well, you can definitely do that in Australia. I think in Adelaide they've got something like real, and Perth as well. They make you do it in a cage.
Dude, there's great whites in the harbour right here in Sydney. It's crazy. Yes, just come. What? Yeah, Australia will fulfill that for you if you really want to make that happen.
I do really want to make that happen. So if I want to do that, and I also really want to chase tornadoes.
Oh, so Jesus. So do you think this has a correlation with when we were younger with, let's see, maybe Jaws and the Twister, dude.
Twister was
off the hook.
That was my favorite movie.
All right,
I've seen it 25 times.
A little bit of Twister trivia and some 80s nostalgia. So what actress was in both movies? Well, how can I ask this? So one of the actresses in Twister was in like an 80s blockbuster cult classic vampire movie. Did you know that?
A vampire movie?
Did you ever
was
see
it the...
Go on.
I don't know her name, but she is the one with the short dark hair that was the ex-wife of the...
Yeah.
The tornado guy.
Yeah. Do you know what movie she was in?
No.
Oh, have you ever seen The Lost Boys?
I have.
Yeah, she played Star with the big curly hair.
Really?
Yeah, same actress. You should look it up.
Get out
yeah,
of town.
There you go. Bombs.
Wow, I gotta look that up.
Winnie, Aubrey's name's come up a lot in this interview. What I want to ask you was, what's the biggest thing that you've learnt from him in number one, most importantly, life, and number two, business?
Wow, there's so many lessons that, you know, I've learned from him. But I think in life, it's I've learned, I would say something, it would be more along the lines of spirituality. Okay. And, you know, leading my life through that, and not so much, you know, I've never been a very religious person, so I always had, I remember being a very young girl and going to church with my mother and kept asking her, why is this person telling me to believe him? I don't get it. Like, why do I have to believe him? She's like, well, you just have to believe. You just have to believe. And I'm like, it doesn't really go with me. You know, that's just not how it works for me. And so when I met Aubrey, it was kind of opening up this whole spiritual way of life and diving into the depths of yourself to learn more about yourself. So I think meeting Aubrey allowed me to learn more about who I am, what makes me tick, and made me a better person from it, because I can honestly say I know myself more than anybody possibly can. And there's been times of, you know, learning all of that has been very scary, but it's yielded more positive benefits than anything has before. So I would say, as far as advice, I mean, get to know yourself, learn what you tick, learn what makes you sad, mad, jealous, what makes you cry, what makes you happy, inspired. Learn all of that. And then in business, he's a very business-minded person. I mean, I'm not that business-minded. Like, he is the guy for that. It's almost incredible how he can just create anything. But he's constantly saying, you know what, just keep going. Just keep doing it. You'll find whatever it is at a certain point. You'll find how it works and how you can get there, and just to stick with it. Use your resources. I know he is all about finding a mentor, like we talked about earlier. So find that mentor, find somebody that can guide you along the way.
Nicely said. All right, Whitney, a little bit more lighthearted. We've got a couple of personality questions just to ask you at the end. So the first one, we're taking you back to your childhood. Whitney Miller, what posters did you have on your bedroom wall growing up?
I had, I mean, through different stages of my life, I definitely had the Hanson Brothers on my wall, and I had the Beastie Boys, and I had, you know, the little Peace Frogs?
Yeah.
I had Peace Frogs everywhere.
That is crazy when you think about, like, you know, Aubrey's, you know, combo. Have you done combo?
No.
Do you know what that? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's the frog medicine.
Yeah, my girlfriend. Are you familiar with, like, the geographically, when people say Byron Bay? Have you been there? Do you know what Byron Bay is?
I have not been there, but I've heard a lot about it. I have a good girlfriend of mine lives in Australia.
Yeah, Byron's beautiful. But, yeah, that's a pretty interesting correlation with the frogs on your wall and, you know, the path that Aubrey's been down. Another question.
Difficult one. I mean, combo, like, I would never do that. He didn't really get a whole lot of benefit out of that one. Now, any other psychedelic shamanic teaching, sign me up for it. I probably do that.
Yeah, so I've done it, and it's not combo medicine. It's not a psychedelic. The way I look at it, it's a cleanse. So what it does is it empties your liver, your gallbladder, your kidneys through a purge. But yeah, the shamans used to use it as, like, to heighten their senses before they went to hunt, but. I've done it once. I see frogs everywhere. It's pretty bizarre.
Really? That's funny.
It's like an awareness thing, I think. But so you're having a dinner party, Whitney Miller. You get to invite 5 friends. There's a couple rules. You can't invite any family and friends, but they could be anybody dead or alive. Who would Whitney Miller invite to dinner? 5 people.
5 and I would invite Hunter S. Thompson. She seems like a crazy person. Let's see. I have to invite Terrence McKenna. I get 3 more. Let's throw in Donald Trump in there and see what happens with that. Yep. That might be interesting. Somebody that can take me shark diving without the cage, and somebody that can take me tornado chasing, please.
Jacques Cousteau probably would help you with the sharks.
That would be fantastic, y'all. I have to make that happen.
Do you have a favorite McKenna quote?
No, I don't. But I have a favorite Hunter S. Thompson quote.
Can we hear it?
We can. I have it pulled up on my computer, believe it or not.
go for it.
It's life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride.
Hell yeah. And on that note, Whitney Miller, could you leave our fans and your fans alike with how they could continue to follow your journey and path and stay in contact with you on social?
Yeah, absolutely. So all my social is basically at Miss2Jits, M-I-S-S, the number 2, and then J-I-T-S. And I'm starting a podcast coming up pretty soon. Aubrey will be the first guest, and it's a love, sex, and relationship podcast called Love Undressed. So that'll be up soon, but check me out.
Definitely. Whitney, thanks so much for your time. We'll have all those details in the show notes too to make sure that people follow you and check out the new show. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, thanks so much, Gabe.
Thank you for sharing the space with us. We appreciate you.
Totally. Y'all have an awesome day.
You too, Whitney. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. And that, guys, was Whitney Miller.
Yeah, she definitely is one of these people that is continually pressing the boundaries and definitely not happy with just being base level, is she?
Oh, definitely not, man. She's ticking 100 boxes. I really enjoy the fact that she went after her challenges in 2016 and she's placed herself at a situation where 2017 is going to be a bumper year for her.
I wonder if the mindset, she's the first Miss America that I've ever spoken to, but I wonder how many other women out there have that mindset who are doing beauty pageants.
Yeah, I think you'll get like a
Do you think that's a standard?
No.
No, it's definitely not a standard, for sure.
Definitely. World peace, brother.
I didn't even think that this is my ignorance as well. Sorry for the state of Texas, but I didn't know they surf there. I know the southern part is
maybe the bottom, is at the bottom near the
Mexico.
Beach?
Yes.
Yeah.
But to actually hear somebody from Corpus Christi growing up surfing,
that's
pretty rad. In America, you kind of leave that generalization to like Southern California, Hawaii, Florida being surfing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never put Texas. I think football.
Yeah, 100 ball. That's like Ohio too, right?
Yeah,
it's
Ohio,
very similar.
One
of
those big
yeah.
football states. And you kind of have to have that mindset to do what Whitney is doing, fighting, commentating, and just continually, you know, you need to upskill yourself when you're putting yourself out there and you're being vulnerable. Part of yourself now is a duty to whoever's listening is to deliver a good and clean product, and she's definitely doing that.
Million. I really enjoyed that episode. Hope you guys did too. Just remember, before we leave, please subscribe to the show via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Please leave us a 5-star review. And Johnny, social media.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate you. Continue to follow me, Johnny Stofko, on all socials. And I just started a new YouTube channel, Johnny Stofko. I appreciate your support. How about you, TK?
It's Tristan Cannell Fitness across all channels. Guys, next on the show, we've got our 100th episode with our main man, Joe DeFranco. So make sure you tune in for that. And then we'll have our Friday breakdown show on as normal.
Yeah,
Johnny.
This was fun, man.
Yeah, brother.
Thanks for it.
We'll see you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.